you're done. Thank you.
The recording's now started. If you have any objections to the being recorded, you may disconnect at this time.
Thank you very much, Jackie. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the SCI call on the 20th of July, 2012. On the call today, we have Avi Doria, Ray Fassett, J. Scott Evans, and Mary Wong. From staff, we have Julie Headland, Margie Milam, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. And we have apologies from Ron Andruff, Volker Wisknoben, Anne Ackman-Scalese, and Marika Kearney. I would like to remind all participants to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Okay, thank you. Next part is the statement of interest. I'll start out with updating mine, though at this point I've done it in a few meetings, so it's probably getting redundant. I updated my SOI, and the main change is that I went from being a consultant that never spoke for one of my clients to actually being employed half-time by Dotgay LLC, and in some cases, when announced, I would be speaking for them. In respect to this grouping, I remain an NCUC and NCSG voting member and am still no change. I don't know if anybody has any questions for me on that. As I say, I've updated my online SOI. Does anyone else have a statement of interest notification to give? Okay. Hearing none, going to the agenda. So the agenda for today, following these first three items, had a status update on community review, consent agenda, and GNSO Council voting results, then continuing discussion and possibly suggested solutions on the open topics, the proxy voting procedure, the deferral of motions, and the voting thresholds for delaying a PDP. After that, there's raising an issue, basically a question, has this been sufficiently clarified? You know, currently needs to come from G Council or from a working group. Didn't know if there was any more discussion we needed to have on that or whatever, so put it on the agenda. Then there's a status update on the working group survey work that has been going on and any other business. Any issues with the agenda? Any changes? Any other business that anybody wants to add at this point already? I'll ask the question again when we get there at the end. Nope. Okay. Then moving with this agenda, the first thing is the status update on the community review. And I guess, Julie, can you give that?
Yeah, sure. And I just want to note, if you haven't seen it in the chat room, that Angie Graves has joined the call.
Okay, thank you.
And also for transcript purposes. So if you are in the UW chat room, if you see in front of you that we did open a public comment period on the proposed modifications to the GNSO operating procedures, and those are, as Avery mentioned, the consent agenda item procedures and the GNSO council voting results. As you'll see here, that was opened on the 9th, and we'll close then on the 30th, and then that will be followed by the usual reply comment period, the 31st through the 20th. I can check and see if we've gotten any comments so far. I would be surprised, but I suppose it's not something that could not be out of place. So if you all would bear with me, I think I can check this really quite quickly if you're interested. Audrey, is that of interest, do you think?
Might as well, although I'll be shocked, too, if you find anything.
Okay. I'll just quickly look. This should be in... It is actually the top of the list of the operating procedure, the top of the list of the public comment form. And looking at the comments submitted, there are none.
Okay, thanks.
That was easy.
Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions on this item? Okay, it's got quite a ways to run yet till the end of the month for comments in 20 August. So to probably make sure that all of our stakeholder groups have seen it and know of it. But okay, moving on. So continuing discussions and suggested solutions. I put the proxy voting procedure first. It's obvious to me, and I don't know if it, you know, other people agree, that we're not moving towards a consensus to change the rules. One of the suggestions that I did put forward as a recommendation, which I haven't seen too much objected to, in fact, I'm not sure I've seen any, but I might have missed it, is the notion of asking staff to look into a slight modification in the way it's done, in terms of basically the announcement has to go to the secretariat of the GNSO. But and then what happens is she gets it when she's got time to process it and then sends out notification to the G Council list. What I'm recommending is that the notification go in parallel both to the secretariat and to the G Council list. And this is basically to allow for two things to happen. One, it means that the secretariat doesn't have to be asked to check her mail for these things before every meeting to make sure nothing came in the last day or what have you. And B, it does allow for, you know, last-minute changes, but still last minute before the meeting started. So no changes being made in the notification to the secretariat must be before the meeting starts, but and so you've got timestamps and everything else showing that, but still it allows for a later proxy substitution than currently we have simply because of the hand processing time needed by the secretariat. So I wanted to put that on the table to just see if there were further discussions on it, to see if anybody told me I was wrong, and that though we probably could come to consensus on changing the rules, though I would be surprised. And if not, then I would recommend to, you know, to Wolf Ulrich coming out of this meeting that we follow that up with a discussion with people on the staff that make the changes and see what was happening. So I'll open the queue on that one. Does anyone have a comment? No comments. Does anybody think this is not a path we should follow? You put a red X or a, no, that means you've left the discussion for a while. I'll put the circle with the red X if they disagree with following through on the change of practice but not rule. No comment at all? Okay, so then I guess the next step will be to put out the recommendation on the mailing list, get a certain amount of time for comment, and then get some comment perhaps from staff on whether this is possible and what it would take to do it. Anything else on this one? Okay, thank you, Mary, for the check. Any other comment? Okay, then I'll move on to deferral of motions. On deferral of motions, we got email from J. Scott Evans right before the meeting. I basically cut and paste J. Scott's email into the wiki, so it's all there together. We had been having also on the wiki a back and forth discussion, and in looking through this, doing my homework, knowing I was going to play chair today, I figured I had to do homework last night. And I had written down some questions that pretty much repeat the questions that were in the email exchange between Jonathan and J. Scott. And the first one had been a question of leave it as a practice or create a rule. And on that one, we seem to still have a divided group. And I'm not sure we have. Certainly we had one recommendation earlier. I think this was from, and I hope I don't get the names wrong, I think Ron had suggested that we leave it as a practice and review it and come back in a year and see how things are going. We also seem to have separate viewpoints, even if we create a rule, then going down what kind of rule, We had Carlos with a simple rule that reflects the current practice, which was basically limit deferral motions. Everybody gets to do it once, but only once. Then we have various flavors of more complex rules. I had offered one. I believe one emerges from the conversation between Jonathan and Jay Scott on, is a reason required? Is a reason required only a second time? Is it required a first time? If there is a reason, is the reason just accepted? Does the reason get checked? Can you defer more than once with an appropriate reason, et cetera? At the moment, I think that we're still pretty much well divided across almost all of these issues, starting out with the first one, they practice or not. So I wanted to open the floor and see if anybody has any suggestions about how we move on from here, bringing it closer to a something that we might have rough consensus on. Anyone want to get into it? Jay Scott, you sent the last message, so, you know.
Well, I mean, Aubrey, all I found, and with all my research, both with Roberts and just asking around, you know, deferral of a motion is a common practice for various and sundry reasons. Roberts, of course, is very formulaic and formalistic about how it does it, but most boards that I checked with have it. But it's just a motion that takes place by the party seeking the deferral, and then that motion gets voted on. And it's, you know, they say we'd like to defer to the next meeting. Everyone either agrees or doesn't agree. There's a debate on it, and it's just a motion like any other motion, rather than some sort of automatic practice. So it seems to me that by stating that, you know, deferral of motions can be brought by a regular motions process at least takes out the argument that it's being used if it's granted somehow automatically in some sort of gaming fashion by anyone, because all the parties debate it and then they decide. But, you know, so it's, that's I just put that forward to the group. I mean, you could just as easily have something like I think Jonathan talked about, or some folks talked about, where you have an automatic grant subject to challenge, I guess. But, I mean, I'll leave that to others. I'm just, you know, what happened here is this was an informal practice that then when everyone got to looking at it, there was no idea of how to handle the situation because it had never been formalized in any fashion. So I guess in formalizing it, we just need to decide how it will be handled. And I'm just putting out ideas for thought to spur a conversation.
Okay, thanks. Is there consensus? Okay, we're only a few here, so it's, you know, it's just a notion. But do we believe, as a group, that there's consensus on formalizing? And what's open is just the how do we formalize it? Or with Ron and perhaps others, do we still have those that believe that we really should just let it ride for a year, monitor it, perhaps even give some guidelines? I know I'm sort of ambivalent about it myself. I think I can go either way, and I might have specific views if we are creating rules, but I'm also fine to just leave it a practice. Yes, Mary.
Thanks, Avi. Excuse me, pardon my voice, everybody. I'm ambivalent myself. I think that there are merits in both approaches. If we formalize it, I don't think that there's consensus as to how we do it, so it merits further discussion. If we monitor it, I think that we want to be quite clear what we're monitoring for, as opposed to just saying, well, let's just see what happens. And I can't remember if Ron or others have suggested a way forward for that. So I think before we decide, certainly before I decide, I'd like to kind of get a sense of what we would be monitoring if we decide not to make any formal recommendations at this point.
Okay. Any other issues? One thing I'd like to add that I thought of on what Jay Scott said about having a motion. We need to make sure that formalizing it into a motion when we have an 8-day rule on motions other than amendments is something that we don't have to add a rule on.
Okay. Just so you'll know, the way they treated it, Roberts, was like an amendment.
Oh, okay.
So it's treated in Roberts the same way, just because the issue of why it needed to be tabled may not come up until the meeting,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So
okay.
I would suggest, and I'm not trying to force feed anything. I'm just saying that's how they treated it.
Okay.
It's like a subsidiary motion, a motion to amend, or something like that.
Okay, I got it. Thanks. So that gets rid of that problem that it.
Right. It's still attached. It's still attached to the main motion because it is related to that. And the one thing that they do say, if you read their text, is you're not supposed to have a substantive discussion about the motion. You're only supposed to have a discussion about whether it should be deferred. So the debate shouldn't be about the substance of the
right.
motion. It should be about whether it should be deferred or not.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else want to comment on this now? So, in terms of looking about how to just come out of this meeting recommending forward progress, would be to have people read through all the comments. And I think I made sure that they're in the wiki, but if not, we can add them. And first of all, take the reading on the leave as practice. Get Mary's question answered. What does monitoring it for a year mean? And, what are we watching for, et cetera? And then assuming that we are going through with formalizing, start talking about the various approaches. As I say, from the simplest, which is Carlos's approach, basically just take the current practice and make it formal, to something that's got meat on its bones and's got ways of redressing, ways of looking legitimate, ways of being legitimate. So, anyone else want to add anything on this one at the moment? Okay.
No, I agree with you, Aubrey, that it looks like the best way forward is to find out what the consensus position is with regards to your first question.
Yep. Okay, thanks. So I'll write something up after the meeting and send it to the list on this issue. Hopefully we can get some discussion going there for them that doesn't want to use a wiki or whatever. Okay. Anything else on the deferral of motion for now? Okay. Put that one on the continuing. Then the next one, and really this was just an update of teamwork and how to move forward. So same update on teamwork and how to move forward on voting thresholds for delaying a PDP. On this one, there's been a conversation going back and forth between several of them, again, because I was doing homework as opposed to just joining in the meeting when it happened. I came up with a proposal, and I think that there's certainly a difference of opinion between Marika and I on this in terms of, my not necessarily believing we need any change because of the two conditions. In one condition, the one that brought up the problem where the deferral is happening before the drafting team has even created a charter or a charter's been approved, it's basically in the council's hands then, the timetable for creating a charter. Now, in terms of changing the timeline once there is a charter, I've argued that it's the same as changing anything in the charter and therefore should require a majority vote as the working rules, the operating rules, already require to change anything in the charter once approved requires the greater than majority in both houses vote. Marika is saying that an indefinite delay is something that, you know, is akin to a gameable way of canceling a PDP that you didn't want, and so therefore an infinite delay or an indefinite delay should have the higher threshold. Now, I sort of think an indefinite delay is the same as cancellation, and we're playing words there, but I also worry about if we make any change to the timeline a supermajority issue, then that becomes yet another thing that one can use to game the process by not allowing for a proper workable change to the timeline. You know, you could force a PDP working group into deadlock or into inability to complete, and we thwart one of the things that was a drive in the new PDP, which is timeliness, predictability, and if you're going off the rails in terms of your schedule, you say so, you know, you get the new milestones approved by the G Council, and you keep working. So I think, and then Angie, I guess you had some comments in this discussion that I was responding to and others. I don't know if you want to add, you know, anything to this.
I appreciate the opportunity. Sure, sorry. This is Angie, and I appreciate the opportunity. I'm kind of new around here, so a lot of my input is questions and therefore kind of orientation for me, but I think they've brought to light some other pieces, parts of this. And so I don't have anything per se to add, but thank you for offering.
Okay, thanks. So I think that's where it is at the moment. I recommend that people read in it. I think both Marika and I have gotten into quoting bits and pieces of procedures and working group procedures, which, of course, probably J. Scott knows by heart anyway. But and basically trying to put those in, trying to find, and I'm still on the point of it's a minimal change, if anything, and I'm still not sure we need a change, to Marika being convinced that we do need a change, and if a change, then what change? So, you know, and with one of the key votes, one of the key open issues being, if we change anything, are we defining it as a supermajority vote for a delay or a majority vote for delay? And do we have to differentiate between a bounded delay, you know, 3 months delay to do X, or even a year delay to do X, versus an indefinite delay that begins to look very similar to a cancellation? So, yes, Julie, I see your hand up.
Actually, Avra, you were just raising the issue that I had picked up that you'd noted in one of your emails, and that was which led me to the question, talking about different types of delays, just something for the work group to consider. Is there a value to defining the types of delays or discussing or including anything about the types of delays, as you just said, a bounded delay or an indefinite delay? Putting the question out there.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate that. Margie.
Hi, Avery. It's Margie. Kind of chatting with Marika before this call, and I was kind of leaning towards where Julie suggested that maybe what we're really talking about is definitions, and maybe not so much a delay that she's worried about, but it's more a suspension, if you will. And if we have a definition of what a suspension is, then I don't think we pick up your concern of what the ordinary delays are just from, you know, working groups maybe not meeting their deadlines, that sort of thing, which is a completely different situation from what we're trying to, trying to solve. So maybe that's when approach is to come up with definitions, and really what we're talking about is some rules related to suspending a PDP as opposed to delaying.
Okay. That would probably be a good thing to explore. The other thing that we probably do have to explore, because we do have a hole in the process, is, although if you covered suspension, is this pre-charter. I don't think we ever imagined that there would be a gameable period in the pre-charter. And, you know, because the charter sort of, there's this first step. And I guess some of us had discussed always having to link charter and PDP vote in a single event or a paired event. But they're not a paired event. So we do have a gap of time, and there really is very little that governs what happens in that time and how long that time is, leaving it completely up to the council. And as any other vote that's undiscussed, making it a majority vote. So we probably need to think about that respect too. I mean, it's a good thing that we have the default notion that anything that's a default vote, I believe, is a majority vote, but still. Okay. Anything else? Who's going to suggest some language for the definitional cure? That's something that Margie, Marika, Julie, staff side would do?
Oh.
Or is that something
Aubrey,
one of us should suggest? Yes.
This is Jay Scott. I have a question. Maybe I'm a little confused here because it seems like we have a couple of scenarios, right?
Right.
One is that there's a PDP going along and something's occurred that's going to change the timeline.
Right. Charter already written.
Yeah. And they've discovered that in their work, something's going to change the timeline for their deliverable. I think that's one situation, right?
Yep.
So that's adjustment of timeline.
Right.
Then there's delay, right, or suspension, which we're talking about where something occurs that has either made it moot or we have to wait for something else to happen before the work, you know, something like that. In other words, it's suspended until some future time. I think there are two different things, aren't they?
Well, I think that's what I've been distinguishing as a bounded delay and an unbounded delay. I see.
Okay. All right. I get you now. I'm sorry. I wasn't following your nomenclature. My apologies.
Sorry. I probably, you know.
No, you were clear. I just didn't put the two together. I have to connect the dots on my end.
Okay. Thanks. Margie.
Right. Just to follow up. Yeah. I mean, we would certainly, if you want us to, Julie and Marika and I can kind of brainstorm on how we would define that. And just, Jay Scott, to kind of give you examples of what we're talking about, that in recent cases, we have the PDP that was approved on Sick Who Is without any kind of delay of, you know, of when it would start. And then subsequent to that, there was a request to push it off until, I think, the dot-com agreement was, you know, negotiated or something to that effect. So that was one example where it wasn't really tied to the actual approval, but it somehow happened afterwards. And then an earlier situation where it happened at the same time as the PDP approval was the UDRP PDP, for example, where we agreed to do a PDP on the current state of the UDRP, but it's going to be kicked off 18 months after the new GTLD program has been in effect. So those are kind of two examples of that, and just to illustrate things that have happened in the last year or so.
Okay.
Okay, so thanks, Margie. I think that, seeing if we can solve it with just definitions as opposed to creating new rules certainly is something that I'm very much in favor of. I find I'm very conservative on wanting to create new rules until we've lived with these for a bit. But so thank you. Anything else on this issue? Okay. Then that's it, I think, on the open working things, other than the working group survey, which I have one after. Another issue that has come up but didn't get assigned to any particular teamwork was the whole notion of raising a SCI issue. And there was a certain amount of discussion where who has standing, as it were, to raise an issue. And at one point, there was an impression that a constituency or a stakeholder group could raise an issue directly, or a liaison group or an advisory group could raise an issue. And in looking back through our charter, it looks like really the two paths to raising an issue are through the council, which means any constituency, stakeholder group, or liaison, you know, or even advisory group that doesn't have a liaison can bring the issue up to the council, and then the council directs the SDI, or a working group that's having a problem and having a problem now with a rule now can bring it directly. And so, and we had this discussion, and it kind of looked like it had reached closure, but I wanted to put it on the agenda to make sure that that's the case, and that it's clear that those are the constraints and those are the standings, and that B, there's nothing we want to do about it, because obviously we could always go back to the council and request a change if that's what we thought was the best thing for the SDI. So that's why I wanted to bring that one up, just to make sure that we don't have an issue there anymore. And if we do, to find out what it is. Anyone wish to comment? Now, is there general acceptance that the two types of standing through the G Council or from a working group should stand? Great. I see nothing. I'm assuming. Yes, Mary.
Hey, Audrey. Excuse me. Sorry. Can you say that again? Because I thought I was following, but then I think I lost track of it.
Okay. I probably went into one of my...
No. I think I just...
But anyhow, at the moment, basically, there's two ways to bring an issue to the SDI. Well, there's actually two plus one. There's G Council can send an issue. There's working groups can send an issue. The third way is if we're doing our periodic reviews and we see an issue, that's a different story. So at the moment, those are the only ways for an issue to get to the SDI. So then the question becomes, does everyone agree with that interpretation? And that's mine, and I haven't seen anybody at this point saying, no, that's wrong. But I just want to make sure that that's the agreed-upon interpretation. And if it is the agreed-upon interpretation, are we comfortable with it, or do we feel the need to change it?
Okay, thanks. And this goes back to a point I think I made on email, that I agree that that's what the language says, you know, the two ways that you described with the plus one as a possibility, but I still recall that we had the impression that constituent groups within the GNSO could also bring an issue, i.e. not individuals for no reason, but a constituency, for example, or a stakeholder group, and that didn't seem to be captured either by the language or by the framework you described.
Right. Yeah, no, the framework I described, they had to bring it through the council.
Yeah,
right.
It seems to me that that's the answer, right? If the intellectual property constituency or registries or the NCUC have a problem, they would voice that and ask the GNSO to take it to the SCI, right?
Yeah.
Right, and I don't think I have a problem with that. It seems to be more a procedural thing. I just wanted to clarify that the intent was that constituent groups could do it, and also the second clarification is, you know, at the risk of adding on process and more discussions, that, you know, it's not going to be something that the council might feel, you know, that there's a question as to whether the council can question one of the constituencies or a stakeholder group saying, I want to raise this issue to the SDI, and the only way I can do it is to go through the council. Can the council stop it at that point? Do we have any sense about whether that is or isn't the case?
I guess as it stands now, I would understand them to be able to say no. And so I think, you know, so it strikes me as that may be a point where we want to, if we have enough, you know, consensus for asking. It is a point that we should probably discuss some further and, you know, go back to the council, and if there's an agreement in this group, if there's consensus in this group that we'd like it clarified or we'd like a stakeholder group and or constituency to be able to bring an issue directly. I don't think we can at the moment, so I would think it would take going back to the council and saying, listen, our charter says this, we would like it to say that, what do you say? But first someone would have to suggest what changes we would think, and we'd have to get consensus on those changes.
Well, I mean, this is J. Scott Evans. I certainly think that one of the reasons for the reorganization of the structure back in 2008, 2009, was to make the council the manager of the process. So I would not feel comfortable having a direct line to us because they should have to go to the project manager and request that it be given to us.
Aubrey, this is Mary. Can I?
Yeah, I
agree with that too. I guess my discomfort, such as it is, I don't think it really rises to that level, is depending on what the group is or what the complaint is or, you know, question might be, there is the possibility that the council has the unfettered ability to check things at that stage. And I'm not trying to ascribe any negativity to anybody here or on the council or anything like that. But there is that possibility, and I think we do need to raise that to the council and can say exactly what you and J. Scott just said, that this is how it's done. And you guys, the council, you're the project managers, and in fact, that's sort of your role under the reconstituted GNSO. But in the SEI, we, you know, simply want to flag the possibility that because the council can refuse to further submit the request to the SEI, that A, that's something the council is comfortable with, and B, does the council want any kind of guidelines as to the sort of request it will forward versus request that it won't. I'm probably not saying that really well because but I think you get the idea.
I'm not sure I agree with the last part of Mary's statement. This is J. Scott again for the recording. But I do think we should confirm with the council that our interpretation of our charter is, in fact, how they see it.
This is Ray. I agree with J. Scott and much of what Mary said as well.
Okay, so we could check on that. So that does seem like we definitely do have something to write up and send the council checking on the interpretation. One point I'd like to add on this is, it's interesting, J. Scott, in the way you described it, is that stakeholder groups and constituencies need to go through the manager. But working groups, as far as I understand, don't need to. So we may be in one of those cases of, do we want to make one like the other? And if so, which?
Yeah, I express no opinion on one way or the other, but it seems to me that it would make most sense if we allowed the GNSO Council to do the job it's been tasked with. Now, if they say they don't want that task and they want to push it down to us, because they think the interpretation should be different, then I think we listen to them. But my default is to set up a system whereby they are the project manager.
So, J. Scott, if I understand correctly, you would think also that in this consistency, working groups would also have to, through their liaison, go to the council before an issue came here.
I think that would probably be appropriate.
Okay.
And I'm not advocating one way or the other, but I see
understand.
Your point.
Right.
I see your point, Aubrey, of what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Yeah, I'll
and,
make my left hand right, like my right hand, something like that.
And with regards to, I just think, you know, I want to stay true to what the improvements were supposed to do.
Okay.
And that is make GNSO Council a manager of the process.
Does anyone wish to volunteer for writing the first draft of this note that we would send to the council? Then we we can discuss the note both on Wiki, on email, and at a next meeting. Any volunteers?
Aubrey, are you thinking, excuse me, this is Mary again, of sending it to the council before this group next meets?
No. I was thinking that the letter would get, because I don't think it's an emergency issue.
Right, that's why I asked.
Right.
So,
no, I was thinking that before the next meeting we should have a letter that's been floated that you know, that people on the list have had a chance to at least read for a day or two or something. So getting a draft written in the next 2 weeks and then starting to discuss it.
I'm happy to do that draft if that's the timing.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Mary, if you'd like me to help as your editor.
That would be great, J. Scott. Thank you.
I don't know if I'm well-versed in the history of the art. I've seen a lot going back with doing Anne Aitman-Scalise and Ron Andruff on this issue, and I'm just not well-versed enough in the history, but I'm happy to look at it and help present it with you.
Thank you. And, I mean, my thinking right now is probably it'll be relatively short and simply state some of that background and get into our interpretation and just ask the question.
Absolutely. But sometimes it's good to have two eyes on it before it goes to the bigger group, and I'm happy to help serve that function.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you both. Anything else on this issue where the answer to my question was, has it been sufficiently clarified, is a resounding no, and we have a forward pass? Anything else on that one? Okay. Next one was status update on working group survey. Is that something, Julie, you were going to do, or who was going to do?
Well, we do actually have an update that that Marika sent, and just to pull that up, she did send around to the list a revised version. This was earlier today. Of the draft survey for GNSO working groups that included in red line some suggestions from Ken Bauer, who was closely involved in the development of the GNSO working group guidelines. And then she asked the list if there were any, you know, suggestions and or comments or edits to share those with the mailing list. Now, I'd be happy to pull that up into Adobe Connect right now if you'd give me a moment, if you'd like to.
Might as well.
Great. Let me get it.
Thank you.
Saved somewhere where I can pull it up quickly. Desktop. And let me just call it survey. Hold on. I'm not nearly as fast at this as Marika is.
But you could probably thank your lucky stars.
Oh, I see that it won't let me bring it up unless it's in PDF. So hold one more moment, and we shall save it as PDF. I don't know why it won't do that, but let me try one more time. And there it is. And,
yay.
And it is coming. And here it is in the Adobe Connect room, and looking down through the document, these are Ken's edits. He's added some additional questions, beginning with number 3. Can everyone see that in the Adobe Connect room?
I can.
The green's probably not the best color for an update.
No. Pale green. Do you want me to read through this? Would that be helpful?
I don't know. I think you could just give us a chance to...
Yeah, let me just give you a little time. Let me pull it down. That view encompasses questions 3, 4, 5, and then 6 was already in the original version.
Can you loosen the... Can you set it so that we all have independent motion on it, that it's not synchronized?
Let me see
it's
how that
button there that you press for synchronized versus not.
Yeah, let me see if I can figure that out. Sorry. That's not what I wanted.
So what's the plan for this next?
I think that Mariko is interested in getting comments on these suggested edits to the survey and any other comments on the survey that people had. Just scanning down through here.
Okay.
There aren't a lot of changes. It's the additions are, from the original version, there's 3, 4, 5 are new additions, and 8 is a new addition. Otherwise, it looks like it's largely unchanged from the last version.
So this is something we could put on our agendas for next time with everyone having the work assignment to review it before then so that it can be discussed and hopefully finalized at a next meeting. Is that a good way forward on it? No objection?
I think so.
Okay, thanks, Jessica.
Because we have a lot of people who aren't here today.
Exactly.
And I think it would be fair that they get a chance to weigh in, especially since most of them went to the trouble to send apologies.
Yeah. Does anyone have any questions, though, on it as it is now, especially on the green sections that were added that we could ask, at least put into the asking queue now? They seem fairly cut and dried to me.
I think they just look like they're drilling down for greater specifics, and I think that would be helpful.
I think the only place I would bicker on asking for a 1-7 scale might be overkill. But,
yeah. Well, yeah, 1-5 probably.
But that's a really,
yeah.
of a comment of mine, but still. Okay. So I'll just ask that people review that. I'll send a response out to Marika's mail sending this thing saying, you know, we took a quick look at it at this meeting and, you know, putting it on the agenda for the next meeting to try and finalize. So please read and comment in the meantime. Anything else anybody would like to add on this item? Okay. Has anybody come up with any other business during the course of the meeting? Nope. In which case, I'd say we were done. And I think
this is Julie, just to confirm, Natalie, when is our next scheduled call?
Probably 2 weeks in.
Yeah, this is Natalie. Normally it's biweekly.
Right.
So the next one would be, let me check, the next one would be on the 26th of July, if that suits everyone.
Thank you for that, Natalie. I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, then. I thank you all, and we'll talk to you in some other meeting.
All right. Thanks, Aubrey.
The next bunch of days. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much, Jackie. Thank you, Jackie, and I'll stop the recording.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.